How you guys doing? Fathers, you guys get awesome Father's Day gifts? Chris told me that fathers get ripped off on Father's Day because like more moms get more stuff, like statistically speaking. So I'm gonna make sure that I check exactly how much we spend on Lee for Mother's Day versus, anyways. Who likes to be wrong? Oh, no, this message is not going to work out. Thank you. At least somebody.
You get used to it.
You get used to it. Okay, maybe you don't like it, but you get used to it, right? That's exactly what I'm going to talk about. We never see guys standing around saying, no, I could swear you are right. No, I'm telling you, the other day you said this and you were right. No, I'm wrong. You're right. Can you let me be wrong for once? We never have this conversation, never ever, right? Or what about this, your wife? Your wife tells you, you know what? You're wrong. And what's your response? Thank goodness, I've been waiting my whole marriage to hear this. Finally. You know, it's like Joe said, you get used to it, right? We all kind of want to be right, right? We want to be right. Why is it that rightness is like some kind of scarce resource? Like if I give it to you, there will be none left for the entire world. If I tell my wife she's right, or if she tells me that I'm right, she feels like she's gonna wake up the next morning and not be there. Okay, like it's gonna take something from her. Like there's a right stick, and once you've bestowed it upon a member of the marriage, then that person is forever right, and you can never get it back, and you can't. It's like, I can't give it to you, it's too scarce. I've only got 4 right bucks, and if I give you one, I'll be less right. You know, it's like this scarce resource. This is, ladies, if you want to know what your husband wants for Father's Day, because you know when you're our age and you have little kids, let's get real, Lucas doesn't really have a job, okay, he doesn't have a bank account really, so other than, you know, some cardboard stuff. And so in our society, in our culture, you know, it's like the mom that like gets stuff for the dad for Father's Day. And of course, you know, I bought stuff for my dad and sent it to him. But you know what husbands want to hear that are fathers? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you the inside scoop. You can make his Father's Day tremendous and awesome. Okay, here it is. We want you to sit us down, you know, in a nice chair. I'm going to grab this chair right here. Sit us down in a nice chair, you know, and say, you know what? Let's make it a little higher. That makes Dad feel good. Sweetheart, I just want to tell you that when you discipline our kids, it is the perfect balance between sternness and love. You are so right when you discipline our children. It's so amazing. In fact, you know, the way that you have provided for us and having this home is perfect. The way you keep up things around here is so amazing. You take out the trash. You are so right. That decision you made about the car, that was right. The decision you made about finances, every day, and when you do make decisions about finances, I just want you to know you are so right. You are so right. The lawn is perfect. Everything is amazing. In fact, sweetheart, from your wife to me or to you, I want to tell you that the insurmountable rightness of who you are as a man just makes me wish we could have sex more often. You give him that speech? Do you guys take notes? Note cards? Ladies, I can feel your hatred. I'm pretty sure Tony just flashed a switchblade at me. All right. I can feel. I tried, guys. I tried my best. I don't think it's going to happen for us. I really don't think it's going to happen for us. So my question for you is, why do we keep, what's that? They just got it from me, right? Yeah, that's the best they're going to get. My question is then, why do we keep holding out for it? Why do we think that it's magically going to happen someday? We do. We think that we're on this, that we're just like one right decision away from our wife or other significant people in our life telling us that you're right and giving us the attaboy and the pat on the back and telling us that we're okay and we're doing a good job. We do. We actually believe that. that we're just one right decision away. Man, if I take out the trash on time, then maybe I'll get that. Or, you know, if you've been married longer than me, I've only have 9 years into this. So, you know, as Joe said, you get used to just accepting it's never going to happen, you know. And we get there. But I really believe this, that my generation, and if you're a dad and you're in the throes of fatherhood right now, then this is probably true for you too. But my generation at least, and possibly the generation before me, and certainly the generation after me, is on a quest for validation. Is on a quest for validation. A quest for validation. This quest for validation to hear, I'm right, you're doing okay, you're making the right decision. This quest for certainty that you're doing a good job and that you have it all in order. That's what we want, right? Chris told me. This is the first time in his whole life someone's told him he's right. He's going to wear a bag in the shower, right? He's not going to take it. And some of you guys are like that. You know, like someone, you're like, oh, this is amazing. Finally, you know? It's this quest for validation. It's a quest for validation. And you know what this quest for validation produces? It produces a lack of self-trust. I know I'm there. And I think we're honest, a lot of us guys, and even ladies, you're probably on the same page here. This lack of self-trust, I don't trust myself. And the lack of self-trust then produces this incredible fear of wrong technique. Okay, our society is totally filled with this. We have the internet, we have information out of our ears, coming out of our nose. Like you can go and find out anything. You can go find out how to do it. You can watch a YouTube video of a 12-year-old who's mastered it. You could go on Wikipedia. You can find out exactly how to do anything. You could read articles and research. You could go on Amazon and have a book in 2 days or one day that will explain to you in depth the right technique. You don't believe me? You think it's just my generation? Listen to Pastor Joe and Jim talk for 45 minutes about their golf swing. Right? We all do it. You know, when we get in these arguments about how we should put the dampener in our furnace at home, or how we should drive the car, you know, to conserve the most gas, and the way you switch gears, we get into all of these crazy arguments about right technique, because if I just figure out how to do it right, then it will unlock the rightness and this validation that I seek, because then I know that I'm doing it right. If you're a parent nowadays, it's horrendous, okay? Like constantly we're bombarded with these messages, you know, don't scold your kid too hard, but if you don't scold your kid, they're gonna end up a brat, you know? And timeout is like 1 minute times 3 to the power of 2 divided by 14 times their age, and then subtract 6, you know, based on their personality type. And you're like, okay, am I doing it right? You know, if I leave my kid in timeout for 30 minutes, 30 seconds too long, you know, then they might grow up to be a basket case or something. And, you know, if I don't feed them organic, they're going to glow when they're 18. Like, what's going to happen? It's constantly all this stuff you're bombarded by, you know, I got to buy the right stuff. And this leads to ubiquitous advisors. Everybody and their brother has got advice on how you should do what you're doing. All your friends, they got advice on how you should be raising your kids and how you should be treating your wife and how you should be treating your husband and how you should be a mom. They got advice on everything in the whole world. But my question is, when they get home to their wife, do they get the you're right talk? I don't think so. We've all got advice. But it doesn't seem to be getting us what we're after. In fact, many men and women alike come to church as an act of seeking validation. That's what legalism is, and that's a theological term, you know. That's the whole idea of religion, is this set of rules and standards where I check all of these boxes. Okay, if I check my box, I read my Bible, I prayed, you know, I did the prayer Jabez, I did the circle prayer, you know, I prayed the rosary, I did all of these things, whatever your flavor is, you know, I did my devotional book, I prayed with my spouse or the person I'm dating, I did all of these things and checked off all the boxes, so now I'm right. And so we go to God because, man, if I check all the boxes, then I'll be validated. I'll get the attaboy. I have the right technique. I'm doing everything right. And I can finally relax and not keep freaking out about messing up everything. Right? But you know what? We don't want this just from our wives. And this is where it can really expand. We want this from our boss. We want the you're right talk from our boss. Hey, you're doing a great job. We want this from our teachers. We want it from our coaches. Kids want it from their parents. Right? You bring home 6 A's and 1 B, and they're like, what's going on with the B? Huh? What's that? What's this all about? We want the you're right. You want that validation? You want that pat on the back from your friends, from your pastor? What about from your dad? In fact, Father's Day is kind of tough for a lot of people because it brings up all of these emotions about what their relationship with dad was not and what it did not give them. And we have this belief, a lot of us, that my problem is that I didn't get the you're right, you're okay, I'm proud of you, good job from my dad. And if I would have got it from my dad, then maybe I wouldn't be seeking for it so much now. So what's going on with this? What is this phenomenon? And I want to pull that apart. I want to pull this apart, and we're going to be starting a series today called Entitlement. And we're going to be pulling this apart over the next few weeks and getting into it. And we want to give you guys a solution because this is a real problem for 90, 99% of the people out there, this search for validation. And so I want to read a verse to you guys, if that's okay. It's in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And if you're new to Calvary, if you're not a Christian, I want to let you know right now, we're so thrilled that you're here with us this morning. We're super excited that you're here. You're the reason we built this place. You are the reason that we do what we do, so that you can come and have a place where you can feel relaxed and you can feel comfortable and you can interact and find God and find what we believe is so true. So as we read the scripture here this morning, I'm not expecting you to buy into everything I say. That's okay. But I want you to listen, if you would. And I guarantee if you would try on the stuff that Jesus talks about, it's going to change your life. It's going to change your life. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 19 and read down through 21. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And I want you to listen to what Jesus says here. He says this phenomenally just world-shattering statement. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I want to pull that apart this morning and introduce the idea to you. It's this idea of energy. Where you put your energy in achieving the prize that you're seeking. You put your energy in achieving the prize that you're seeking, okay? All of us set out to seek something. Say if you are a warrior and you're going to slay the dragon. You believe you can slay the dragon and you're going to put all of your energy into seeking that prize. If you want a woman, you're seeking to get married, or you're a single lady and you're seeking a boyfriend or a husband, you're going to put your energy into seeking that. We call that heart, right? We call it heart. And basically what Jesus is saying here, and a simple way to say it, and you can remember this week, is attention determines intention. Okay? Attention determines intention. Okay? What has your attention has your intentions. What does that mean? What does that mean? How many of you have ever heard the phrase got heart? You know? You've got heart. Okay? You seen the movie Rudy? Anybody see Rudy? Okay? What about Princess Bride? Okay, some more. Gladiator? Braveheart? Okay, cool. So this idea of heart, in the movie Rudy, Rudy's this scrawny kid who can't really play football. He's not very good at it. But he's determined to play on the college level team. And so every day he goes out and he practices and he gets pounded in the mud and he gets up and he's basically like a tackling dummy for the whole team. For like the whole season, he just works and works and works and works. And the coach says, Rudy, I don't know why you haven't quit yet already, but you got heart. You know that kind of thing? You got heart, kid. You got heart. And you know what? Rudy's an idiot. He probably should have quit it a long time ago and went and did math or some engineering or something he was good at. Because he's never going to be a football player. Like, it's a waste of his life. But still, that moment in the movie when they put him in the game, it punches the man button inside of us. And I don't know if women have a man button inside of them, but when they put the guy in and they blow the French horn music and, you know, and it hits that button inside of you and you're like, yeah, you go, Rudy, that's awesome. Or in Braveheart, you know, where Mel Gibson's there in his skirt, kilt, sorry, Pastor Paul, kilt, right? He's there in his kilt and they've all got these spiky things that look like weapons, you know, and they're all half painted up and the other side's all in their nice horses and their armor and everything. And you got this ragtag bunch of guys who don't have much of a chance, but they stand there and they face fear and they go, freedom! And they go charging in, you know, and they play the music and it hits that man button inside of you, you know? Any of you guys see Man of Steel yet? I went last night with Nathan and people from Oasis after church. We went, that thing, that movie pushes your man button. You know, Superman, Man of Steel, it's like, yeah! You get to that moment and it's like you get these, you know, you get all tingly and stuff. God, we don't talk about this, you know, of course, to our wives. We hold it in and we're strong, you know, but there's a reason they're still watching a movie, okay? It's just like, it does this thing for you. And you're like, wow, that's awesome. I want to be like that. And that thing inside of us is something that God has built into each one of us. It's this ability to focus on a goal and push past pain, push past all kinds of hardship and heartache to achieve the prize. To achieve the prize. No matter what it takes, no matter what hits you, no matter what knocks you down, I'm fixated on this thing, I'm focused on this thing, and I will get it. And I've seen this not only in men, but in women as well. My mom was like that. She would focus on something. She's like, I'm gonna do it, and I don't care how difficult it is, I'm gonna get it done. My dad was like that. Many of you have seen that. That's built into all of us. It's part of what God made us. It's what Jesus did when he went to the cross. He said, I'm fixated on sacrificing myself to save the world so they could have eternal life. And I don't care if they beat me. I don't care if they kill me. I will do what I came to do. And that piece of God's character, he put inside of us. We're made in the image of God. And he put that in each one of us. And we have this thing where we can latch on and go after it. And what Jesus is saying here is what has your attention has your intention. What has your attention is what you're focusing on. In fact, what has your attention has your intention. The more entitled you feel to the prize, then the more energy you devote to getting it. In fact, let me show you an illustration here. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, I want to read you a story about this guy. Verse 17 through 22. Okay, it's not super long. Mark 10, 17 through 22. I don't know if they'll put it up on the screen or not. You could read along. But it says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy mother and father. And he said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up thy cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. So this young guy comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, Jesus, what must I do to have eternal life? So on the outset, it looks like he's focused on getting this eternal life thing, okay? He's getting validation from God, getting to be with God forever in heaven, whatever you want to call it. He wants this thing that Jesus has to offer, that God has to offer. He goes to him and says, what do I got to do? And Jesus says, well, you got to keep the commandments. You know, don't steal and don't cheat on your taxes and all this stuff. He lists the commandments there. And the guy says, and I believe he had this big grin on his face when he said it. He's like, I did all that. I got it. I did it. And then Jesus says, well, there's one more thing. I want you to go sell everything you got and come and follow me. And the guy got really bummed out and he left. And I'm not telling you to sell everything you have. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is he didn't really want eternal life. If what he was fixated on, if the goal that he was seeking after was eternal life, then when Jesus said, go sell everything you have, then he would have been focused on that, that thing inside of him, the man button would have been pushed or whatever. He would have said, okay, I'm going to endure all the hardship of losing all this stuff to get this prize because this is what I'm really after. I don't think he was really after eternal life. I think he was going to Jesus because he was after validation. He wanted an attaboy from the Son of God saying, you're awesome and you're doing great. And you've got it all in the bag. That's what he wanted. He goes to him and says, so what do I got to do out of eternal life? And Jesus, of course, answers, well, you got to keep the commandments. And he's like, I did it. Where's my gold star, Jesus? This is awesome. Where's my gold star? Give me, go ahead, say it. Say it. Say it to me, God.
Well, there's one more thing you have to do.
What? And he goes away sad. Many of us, even the Christians, in this quest for the you're right talk, for the validation of others, the validation of God. He came because he felt like he was entitled to hear Jesus say, well done. You're doing amazing. You're an awesome Christian, religious person. And Jesus rocked his world. He said, you're coming for validation. So I got to ask you guys this morning, what is the prize that you're seeking after? What is the prize that you're seeking after? We wrote on your hand this morning, you're right. Okay? You got that validation. You're right. In fact, you can look at this all week long, and it's probably only going to last a few days unless you wrap your hand in a bag and don't wash it. But I really hope you don't do that, because that's gross. On the other hand, we have some of you guys that are obsessive compulsive. You'll be at home with steel wool. I can't believe they wrote on me in church. That's okay. I get it. But as this starts to fade this week, I want you to think about how the validation that the world offers us, the validation that we're seeking from our friends, boyfriend, girlfriend, mom, dad, husband, wife, is so temporary. Like the passage said in Matthew, it's corruptible, it fades, it wears off. If your dad would have given you the you're awesome talk, you would have said, why didn't he say it more? If your wife gave you the you're awesome talk today, tomorrow when you did something amazing, you'd be like, why don't I get the you're awesome talk again? It fades. And so I want to ask you, and some of you guys are saying, well, that's just pretty insecure, Ron. You know, I'm older than that, and maybe you deal with that, and I get that, and that's great for the young people. But I want you to think about your faith in God. Are you pursuing God for his validation, or are you pursuing eternal life in a relationship with him? I want you to think about that this week. And next week, we're going to unpack the solution. We're going to start to unpack the solution. And this is about 3 years of personal growth in my life. And so we didn't want to jam it into 1 week. This is probably 10 years of experience in Pastor Joe's life, at least. And so we wanted to spread it out and give you guys a chance to walk through this process. So this week, this is what I want you to do. I want you to see it. I want you to look at your own anxious behavior when you get freaked out about other people and how they're treating you and how they're not treating you. Because I work so hard. I deserve this talk. I'm entitled to a little respect around here. You know? Right? When that feeling comes up, and I want you to look at your hand and see where it's fading, or maybe it's already gone. Is that really what's going to satisfy? Is that really what's going to fix that hole in your heart? What gets you angry and upset? What are you entitled to that you're not getting? Go ahead, make a list. Start writing it down. Some of you guys are going to need a lot of paper. Okay. Where are you focusing that thing inside of you that God made that says that you can fixate on it and your whole heart will be devoted to that? Your whole heart will be devoted to it, because what has your attention has your intention. Whatever you're giving your attention to, that's what your whole life is going to be focused on achieving and getting. So how much are you seeking validation this morning? I'm going to pray, and then we'll have our offering this morning. Dear God, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you that we can ask big, hard, scary questions. And Lord, I pray that as we start to open up our own hearts this week and seek what has our attention, what has our intention, what are we focused on, what are we really pursuing? Lord, I pray that you'd reveal it to us. It would be plain, it would be clear, it would be understandable, and that you'd give us hope as we come back next week to start to deal with it. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.